Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Praj Industries Limited's Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to you all. My name is Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Praj Industries Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings conference call for the second quarter and half-year ended 2026. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's belief as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now, let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and give it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Ashish Gaikwad, Managing Director, and Mr. Sachin Raole, Chief Financial Officer and Director of Resources. Without any delay, I now request Mr. Sachin Raole to begin with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good day, everybody. I welcome you to Praj Industries' earnings call for quarter two and first half of FY26. Trust all of you had an opportunity to go through our results for the quarter and the half-year ended on 30th September 2025. Our financial results in quarter two FY26 reflect our unwavering focus on execution, which enabled us to deliver these results despite continued challenges in the external business environment. There are headwinds, particularly in the domestic ethanol segment and in the international market due to the U.S. tariff scenario. I will now share updates on each business segment. On the domestic bioenergy business front, as you know, India has achieved its EBP 20 target. With the current ethanol production capacity in the country now meeting the EBP 20 requirements, the industry needs new avenues for further growth. Additionally, there are some negative news around ethanol blending. However, the key stakeholders in the ethanol ecosystem, like MoPNG, ARAI, SIAM, auto OEMs, and oil marketing companies, have already come forward and clarified the points that were raised in the public domain. While there are some early signs of slowdown in the ethanol greenfield projects, we are shifting our focus on the life cycle services and the brownfield opportunities for the installed base. These include plant enhancements, efficiency improvements, and also other co-product additions in the existing plants. On the execution front, existing project execution cycles are getting extended due to funding and some other challenges. The international bioenergy front, there is a good pipeline of inquiries from the USA for low-carbon ethanol projects. These will benefit from the 45Z 45Z tax credits. Currently, we are executing our first low-carbon ethanol project in the USA, which is expected to get commissioned by the end of this fiscal. In Latin America, there are positive policy developments in Panama and Argentina for blending mandates. Apart from America, Indonesia has announced mandates of 10%. Vietnam plans to transit to E20 by 2026. Many countries from the Africa region also are keen to either introduce the blending mandates or increase the current mandates. On CBG front, compressed biogas. We have started executing our first Napier gas-based project. There is a healthy build-up of inquiries of pipeline based on Napier gas as well as Pressmud. However, overall market will further pick up once the national grid for gas and its connectivity improves. In our services business, there is healthy order booking for performance enhancers and the solutions around it, as well as biogenic CO2 capture solutions. On the sustainable aviation fuel front, our alcohol-to-jet demo plant at Praj Matrix is now operational and has successfully produced SAF from ethanol. This SAF demo plant is the first integrated alcohol-to-jet fuel plant in the world. This also is first of its kind SAF demo plant that will boost the customer's confidence in both the SAF technology and the commercial scale investment decisions. Moving on to the engineering businesses. On the GenX front, energy transition related projects that were announced in the past are either stalled or currently on hold. We were pursuing these projects very actively. Based on our current analysis, it will take some more time to assess the future of these projects. We have taken some definitive steps now to pivot our strategy by targeting a varied customer base across different industries and markets. We are focusing on opportunities in oil and gas, piping, structure, and conventional oil and gas markets. Our brewery business is witnessing some revival in the greenfield markets based on growing demand. On PHS front, there is good traction for solutions for segments of high capacity fermenters, complex injectables, and blood plasma. New opportunities are emerging from sectors like storage batteries, EVs, solar cells, and semiconductors in the high purity water segment. Overall, despite the challenging business environment, we will continue to focus on controllable factors to deliver good performance in the second half of FY26. I would like to reiterate that we are committed to deliver our long-term growth vision. With this, I conclude my initial remarks, and I would like to thank you all for joining us on this call. We would now be ready to discuss any questions, comments, or suggestions that you may have. Thank you. But prior to that, I would like to hand it over to our CFO, Mr. Sachin Raole, for financial updates.
Thank you, Ashish. Good day, everyone. Let me take you through the financial highlights for the quarter and half year ended September 30, 2025. The consolidated income from operations stood at rupees 8.42 billion in quarter 2 of FY26 as compared to 8.16 billion in Q2 of last year. PBT stood at rupees 296.1 million as compared to 744.4 million of Q2 of FY25. Similarly, profit after tax stood at rupees 192.8 million in Q2 of FY26 as compared to 538 million in Q2 of FY25. Changes in the material cost as compared to corresponding quarter of last year is lower on account of sales mix. Other expenses as compared to corresponding quarter of last year are higher because of increased execution activity, as Ashish has just mentioned. Under absorption of fixed cost as GenX has also contributed to some extent in the lower EBITDA for this quarter. For H1 FY26, income from operation was rupees 14.8 billion as against 15.15 billion in H1 of FY25. Profit before tax, before exceptional items, stood at rupees 392 million as against 1.53 billion in H1 of FY25. PAT of rupees 246 million in H1 FY26 as against 1.38 billion in H1 FY25. Effective tax rate in consolidated financials is 35% for Q2 of FY26 and 37% for H1 of FY26 because the deferred tax asset which we are creating on the losses of Praj GenX is at lower rate as compared to the tax rate of Praj Industries. Export revenue accounted for 46% of Q2 in FY26, and of the total revenue, 64% is from bioenergy, 26% is from engineering business, and 10% is from PHS business. The order intake during the quarter was 8.1 billion, with 73% from the domestic market. Of the total order intake, 71% came from bioenergy, 16% from engineering, and balance 13% from PHS business. The order backlog as of September 30th, 2025, is at 44.2 billion, comprising of 65% of domestic orders. Cash in hand as on September 30th is at rupees 4.37 billion. I now conclude my remarks, and I would like to thank you all for joining us on this call. We would be happy to discuss any questions, comments, or suggestions you may have.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. A reminder to all the participants of this conference, in order for the management to be able to take all of your questions, please limit your questions to two per participant. Our first question comes from the line of Amit Anwani from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you so much for the opportunity. First question, as you did also highlighted in your remarks, the challenges pertaining to GenX. So one thing we would like to understand, how much was the fixed cost absorption in H1 and Q2? And second, earlier with a plan that we can achieve 1,500 crore kind of revenue with the current capex, which we have done in GenX. What is the thought? Any change there? And also update on the U.S. client inspections. Are we now not at all considering, or have they completely stalled the projects, and which is leading us to look for other industries, as you highlighted, especially oil and gas? And will this change the margins for you, since you are now moving the needle to at least compensate for what was expected and is not happening? So more color on this front.
So the first question, Amit, was related to the fixed cost. So the fixed cost which we are incurring in the GenX facility is in and around 8.5 to 9 crores per month. During this quarter, there was some absorption, but not the full absorption naturally, because the execution which is right now happening is at a minuscule scale, because order booking itself is at a minuscule scale over there. Your second question was related to whether we are pursuing any or new orders in U.S. market or not. Of course we are pursuing. It's not that market is completely given up. We are figuring it out ways and means of catering to that market irrespective of whatever is the scenario on the tariff. And we are, of course, dealing with few of our customers based out of U.S., not only in the GenX business but also in the bioenergy business. So it is not that U.S. is completely dried out and no business is expected at all from U.S. It will still remain one of the important markets for us to pursue. So definitely we will be pursuing that market going forward too. Your third question was related to 1,500 crore turnover. When are we going to get into that kind of a zone from the capacity utilization point of view? And as Ashish was explaining to you in the initial remarks from his side, that we are reorienting our strategy. First, we believed when we started this facility that the opportunity across the globe, not only from US but also from the European market, is going to come majorly from the energy transition as compared to from the fossil fuel or from the traditional energy segment. But over a period of time, we realized that it is not only going to be, or rather, there will be little less reliance on that segment, but a higher reliance is going to be still on the traditional energy or other segments. So as Ashish was mentioning in his remarks, we are reorienting our strategy to bring those customers which anyway we were catering to in the earlier avatar of ours in the CPS business from Praj Industries, but the focus was not there. So we are getting those customers also into our focus and bringing those customers also into our fold. Naturally, this change is taking some time because the facility is new. So initially, when the facility inspections and the audits were happening, our first preference, because as I mentioned earlier, was on the ETCA segment. So naturally, the first set of audits happened from that industry segment and not from the other industry segment, which is right now happening. So this changeover will take some time, and the achievement of this peak capacity will take maybe some more time. So the plant, the way in which we are looking at, got completely shifted by almost by 1 year. We were expecting something to happen by next year from achieving this kind of a capacity utilization. Maybe we'll have to wait for one more year. So instead of FY27, we will see this full capacity utilization happening in FY28.
Right, sir. And sir, on collections, I think in Q1 also you did highlighted some challenges there. So what is leading to this challenge? Is it more sustained for the current execution which is happening? Can you explain more, because this is second quarter back-to-back you highlighted that the challenges with the collections which are happening. So some more color as to is it medium-term, long-term, or are we going to solve it immediately, something like that?
Yeah. So, Amit, we were referring to the challenges regarding the customer's funding arrangement for executing the projects. That projects are not in a position to reach to their financial closure the way in which it used to happen maybe a couple of years back. It is taking more time because the scrutiny has gone up, the equity ask from the project owners has gone up, so they are taking more time in bringing their equity. So naturally the debt component is getting little delayed in arranging, and that is what is putting a pressure on the execution cycle for our projects. We were not talking about our collection is having some kind of a challenge. We were talking about funding arrangement for our projects is taking some time. So that challenge continued during this quarter also. As you are asking a question whether it will continue going forward also, maybe it will continue for some more time. But during this quarter, we have seen some of the projects which were not moving because of non-arrangement of funding. A couple of projects have actually reached to a financial closure, and those projects are coming to execution during this quarter. That's what we were saying, that our focus on execution has resulted into a performance which we have delivered during this quarter.
Sure, sir. And lastly, sir, on the inflow for H1 is about 1600 versus 1800. And given the challenges which you highlighted, whether it is Genex, EBV20 is over, how one should think of next 12 months of inflow, medium term and near term, what would be the contributors, and are we going to see, obviously this year is challenging, at least some double digit growth in inflows next year again, are we going to come back next year? So some color on the near to medium term inflows, and from where are we expecting the contribution there?
Sure, Amit. So, like we said, you know, the recovery is going to be there, but it's going to be slow. And therefore, you know, the discussion we had on pivoting for GenX definitely is one of our actions that should result into uptick in the next financial year, the question that you are asking. Also, bear in mind that Praj also has a very diversified portfolio, which helps us in such situations. We have the portfolio for industrial effluent treatment and zero liquid discharge. That is certainly a market in India. We also have the pharma portfolio. We are active in the ultra pure water market. The brewery is also showing signs of growth. So all of this portfolio that we have in Praj is going to help us in that recovery path for the next year.
Any guidance for the FY26 revenue growth and EBITDA margin?
Unfortunately, we don't give any guidance. That's the policy which we have, that we don't give any guidance.
Thank you for answering, sir. All the best.
Thank you, Arvind. Thank you.
Thank you. A quick reminder to the participants, please limit your questions to two per participant and rejoin the question queue if you have follow-up questions. The next question comes from the line of Sajal Kapoor from Antifragile Thinking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. First question is on the PHS, high purity segment that is. We were aiming for, we're still targeting the high-end production capability industries, things like lithium-ion battery production, semiconductor manufacturers. So what are the primary technical hurdles encountered to meet these very stringent standards? I mean, and what's the current status of the expectations, the discussions purely around lithium-ion battery production and semiconductors?
Thanks, Sajal, for your question. The first point that you mentioned is on the high-capacity fermenters or some specialized manufacturing in the pharma. We actually don't have any challenges there. We have the technology. We have the wherewithal to manufacture these specialized fermenters. And, in fact, our pipeline for that segment is really in a healthy situation right now. As far as some of the new segments for the ultra-pure water which are opening up, and I mentioned a few earlier, it will be in the area of semiconductors, solar panel manufacturing, and also in the battery manufacturing. There, the market is just developing. It is a new market for India because these industries have not been prevalent in India. As you know, we have already got a strong presence in the pharma market, which also needs ultra-pure water for injectables. The technology is very similar, but has a different scale, and we will be, you know, working on scaling it up. It's not a challenge, but it's an opportunity for us to leverage our expertise in that area. I hope that answers your question.
No, that's helpful. There are many elements within Praj. Praj Matrix is a collection of many things other than bioenergy. I know the largest cash flow contribution is still coming from 2G ethanol and bioenergy, but we have spoken about in our annual reports the biobitumen opportunity with or without CBG. We have also spoken about how different our ZLD technology is. So one question specifically on our ZLD technology, because there is competition. I mean, there is Triveni. There are many players in this segment. How does Praj's modular skid-based ZLD technology create competitive advantage in winning industrial contracts, especially for clients with stringent timelines and limited installation space? And what differentiates Praj's solution on critical metrics, you know, things like energy efficiency and water recovery rates from competitors in this increasingly important market, the ZLD?
Yeah. So, Sajal, I think you had initially asked about the Praj matrix. So I'll throw some light on that for everybody's benefit, and then we will come to the ZLD technology as well. So, first of all, as you know, Praj is a technology-driven, technology innovation-driven company. We keep innovating and bringing new products in the field of the industrial biotechnology, and mostly the focus is on the biofuels, advanced biofuels included, and also the biomaterials. So this forms what we call as our Praj's bioverse, or the universe where we produce things from the biological sources and therefore try to help in the actions around climate change, right? So, and to do that, we need a very vibrant and very effective R&D setup, and that is what is Praj, you know, matrix for us. And we leverage that for not only the existing technologies and enhancing them, but also introducing the new ones in the future. We call it as the seed planting, and when we sow the seeds of these new technologies, they become saplings in a few you know, years' time, and then become a full-fledged tree where we can reap the fruits. So that's the whole model that we follow as far as Praj is concerned. Coming back to the specific technology that you touched upon, which is ZLD, of course, there is competition. Competition is not bad at all. That keeps everybody on the toes. And we have a very special focus on specific industrial waste treatment in metals, minerals, and mining. We also have done the country's largest project in Indian oil in a place called Dhumal, which is already operational. And the specialty that Praj brings to the market is the project execution capability. We have a very strong project execution capability track record. And also, we can not only just execute the project, but afterwards when the plant is installed, we can provide the operations and maintenance services which are required by the customer because these are special operations. So when we bring this entire package to the market, there is a strong, presence and therefore preference that Praj can generate.
That's very helpful. Thank you so much for all your responses. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Amitoj Singh from 360 One Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. My first question was in the engineering segment. As I can see,
Amitoj, sir, sorry to interrupt. Could you please speak a bit louder?
Hello. I'm audible now?
Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. My first question was on the engineering segment. Like we can see in this quarter, the order intake has been higher year-on-year as well as quarter-on-quarter. So was this a result of GenX facility taking in more orders as we are pivoting towards conventional industries?
Yeah, that's right. So in engineering, the shift which has seen that the reduced orders coming up on the mainly critical equipment side, and that was also a part of our orientation because the earlier orders used to come into our another manufacturing facility, and now we are shifting into the new one. So during this shifting, some orders which we had not taken on the our earlier facility, that is what the change which you are seeing in the shifting my engineering orders happening in this quarter.
Okay, got it. Thank you. And my next question was on the U.S. order that we took, $30 million MBR order. Can you tell what is Praj's wallet share of this order and under which segment will this be recorded? I'm assuming it will be recorded in the GenX facility.
Okay, so this order is mainly from the bioenergy segment for providing a technological solutions from our side. I will not be in a position because of our confidentiality with our customers, specific order value for this, even though they have declared the full value of this project. But we have a sizable role to play in that because we are providing a, not only technology, but the critical equipment which are required for that technology. Unfortunately, I will not be able to give a specific number to this because of a confidentiality.
Got it, sir. Thank you. That were my questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sani Vishay from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So, thanks for taking my question. I want to, I mean, this is kind of a follow-up on what Amit asked. So, in terms of the GenX alternate avenues that we are looking for, is there any visibility for the next two quarters, anything concrete development in the other areas that we are looking at?
Okay, so this visibility is on the basis of the number of audits and the agreements which we are right now entering into with our customers, which are completely coming from a different segment than the other, earlier segment which we are trying to cater to. So in the earlier segment, we had almost completed more than 10 audits. The framework agreements were also ranging from 3 to 4 kind of a number for my earlier segment. And now in new segment, we are almost completed 4 audits in the new facility for our customers. So that's the indication. This is like a first step to get into the order booking to happen, which we believe that we should start seeing that kind of a visibility coming from quarter 3 and quarter 4.
Okay, fair enough. And finally, sir, given that there have been some delays in terms of growth that we had expected for 26 and 27, do you think we may have to revisit our vision 2030 or at some point of maybe delayed by some extended timeline?
Yeah, of course, we will have to revisit, the path. But I don't think our vision has changed, just to make sure that, you know, it is clear. We are absolutely steadfast on the path as far as our new and diversified product portfolio is concerned. And we will continue to therefore work on the new emerging areas like the sustainable aviation fuel, the bioplastics, the biobitumens that was mentioned earlier. We, of course, also are, developing our compressed biogas market with different feeds. So there is a whole host of different activities that will help us. Also, not to mention that the blending possibilities in the petrol are already underway, but there is a larger opportunity for blending in diesel, and the alcohol blending in diesel is another opportunity that will happen over that horizon we are talking about. So there is a lot to expect in the time to come. That's what I would like to share with you.
Okay, so it's still doable, is what you mean.
Yes, we are extremely excited about it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, sir.
To the management, there is a slight disturbance in your line. Please give me a moment while I reconnect you to the conference. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. We have the management back with us. We will continue with the question and answer session. And our next question comes from the line of Atul Tiwari from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. My question is on the possibility of enhanced mandate for blending of bioethanol. So any color on, where we are in that process, both for the petroleum products and diesel?
Yeah, maybe I'll take a shot at it, Atul. Thanks for the question. First of all, let's establish that while I briefly mentioned about some of the negative sentiments in the market, but all the key agencies, government agencies included, have come up very strongly with facts and figures and provided the rebuttal for all those points raised in the public media. And therefore, ethanol for us is certainly a good fuel to have for the country. It helps farmers. It helps in becoming more energy self-reliant. It helps in bringing down our foreign exchange spend. It helps in reducing pollution. It also, therefore, helps in making a pathway for other high-value fuels like aviation turbine fuel when you convert it into SAF. So we remain quite optimistic about medium to long-term outlook of, ethanol getting due attention in the time to come. We don't have any insights about the blending mandates to go from the current levels of 20% to higher in the immediate future. We don't know about it if it is happening. But in the medium to long-term, if we have to share our thoughts, we are absolutely very confident that we will have that.
Okay, and sir, any update on, I think the technical trials were on for blending in diesel. So any update on that?
Yes, so the diesel blending is going to be a little different than the petrol blending. The component that needs to go in there is isobutanol, not ethanol. Praj has the technology to produce isobutanol at scale. The trials are currently being planned along with the oil marketing companies and other relevant agencies who are experts in this area, like ARAI. Praj is a pretty strong participant in all this set of actions, which is going on as we speak. And once those results are, looked at, validated, it can open up the opportunities for diesel blending as well. And also, as you know, the diesel consumption in the country is at least 2.5 times to 3 times more because of the transport sector usage. That opportunity can be larger than the EBP 20.
And sir, just some color on this isobutanol technology. So the feedstock is same as ethanol, right?
Yes. The feedstock is the same for making isobutanol as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Shiv Kumar Prajapati from Ambit Investment Advisors. Please go ahead. Mr. Shiv Kumar Prajapati, are you with us?
Yeah, hi sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible, sir. Please go ahead.
Thanks for my question. So my first question is on the other expenses part. I believe including the losses from GenX as well, but still the other other expenses are quite high for the quarter. Can you explain why?
So if you look at in our project execution, there are two components. One is the equipment manufactured by us and the procured goods also, which forms a part of our supply, which sits into my material cost. And when I execute the activity on the sites or the execution, even if it is happening at my end, all those expenses sits into my other expenses. So if you see the difference, this time is on the material cost, which has come down as compared to the last year, because the material cost component or the material related activity was less, but the labor activity, that is on the conversion side or on the site side, the activity was on a higher side. That's why my other expenses are on a higher side.
Got it, sir. And, sir, our gross profit margins has been significantly improved for the last 5 to 6 quarters. Like, we even touched more than 50% as well. So what has changed for us?
Okay. So if you are comparing with the maybe couple of years back when the material cost was definitely on a higher side, which has come down to some extent. It is now on a very steady state basis kind of a thing. One, quarter on a quarter, you will keep on seeing these changes because of the sales mix also, because moment I'm having more export sales coming up or more engineering orders, engineering in the sense, the services order if I'm executing, which doesn't have a material cost component. So naturally it looks like that gross margin has suddenly gone up. Moment there is a higher component of equipment, then material cost goes up. Generally, that's the reason why we keep on saying that look at the composite cost of other expenses and material cost to arrive at the realistic margins for us, because these activities keeps on changing, and depending on the accounting standards, we have to keep on accounting those costs into material or other expenses.
Understood, sir. And sir, this order that we got from US of around $30 million, so is this the order that you highlighted 4 to 5 quarters before, that 20 plants need to be converted to, a lower carbon ethanol kind of thing? So is it related to that, or is this different one?
No, so it is exactly the one which we had earlier mentioned, that we are working on this low carbon requirement of the US market. And we are working on that order, or other, there are multiple inquiries on which we are working on. Then this was the first order which we backed. This order, by the way, is not of 30 million. 30 million is the overall cost which my customer is going to incur
Okay.
Someone was already asking a question, what is our proportion? Unfortunately, as
yeah,
I mentioned,
right,
I can't exactly give a proportion of that. But yes, this order is related to low carbon. And even in the opening remark, we had mentioned that we are actually executing. This is in an advanced stage, the execution of this order, which is going on.
Understood. So, is this the this was the first order that was floated into the market and we won it, or is it?
Mr. Prajapati, I will please request you to rejoin the question queue for follow-ups, as there are other participants waiting in the queue.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah, but I will just close this question. In any case, yeah, this is the first order which we are executing. So this is like going to be a first commercial demonstration in the U.S. market of this kind of an order, which is meant for low carbon. And naturally, it will set a trend for that market. As I mentioned earlier, that we are entertaining many more inquiries in that market for this kind of a segment.
All right. Thank you
for answering. Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vikram Suryavanshi from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. I think most question answered. But just on keeping said, was there any forex adjustment in this quarter? Because earlier we used to report it separately.
Yeah, good catch, Vikram. But when we were discussing with the auditors specifically mentioned that you are not supposed to, or you are not, as per this standard, you are not supposed to make a mention of that line item. Which will only come up at the year end. And that's the reason why this line item hasn't come in the published accounts. But just for the information, this quarter we were having a profit of almost 3 crores or something for the on account of fluctuation of foreign exchange.
Understood. And was there any order booking from CBG side during this quarter? Or how is you highlighted the traction in particularly in APR grass and face mud, but... near term, what kind of ordering, specifically this quarter, how was the scenario?
So, Vikram, of course, we just don't give a specific number for this segment, but yes, we do have a CBG order, but it is not for Greenfield. We are working on some kind of a capacity enhancement for the existing plant, and that order is sitting in our order book right now.
Okay, understood. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you, Vikram.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Aditya Mungia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for the opportunity. The first question I had was more on the difference in margin movement in standalone and consolidated numbers. So just to put a context to this, your standalone profitability has improved quite appreciably on a Q&Q basis, as the execution has grown about 30-odd%. While your console profitability has only shown a small improvement on a Q&Q basis, in spite of a similar kind of, obviously, overall uptick in execution. So I'm a bit confused as to why this sharp uptick in execution is not impacting console margins beyond the 100 bps improvement that has been reported on a Q&Q basis.
So the change, you're talking about June quarter versus September or September versus September?
So this is September versus June, okay. And the premise was that your subsidiaries, obviously the issues of underutilization aside, which is impacting both quarters, your subsidiaries or your overseas business has typically better margins. So one would have anticipated... better traction in consolidated margins on a Q&Q basis. That's not happened.
Yeah. So, point noted, Aditya, but if you look at, there is basically one main reason as compared to the June quarter, the September quarter, we are having more execution activity. And that execution activity was having naturally more cost, which is sitting in my other expenses. That was not the scenario in June quarter. June quarter, the activity was on a lower end, but of course the margin looked lower because the activity itself was on a lower side. So top line was also lower. So the change has not getting reflected because of that on the standalone basis. On a console basis, the change is happening because of the subsidiary company's losses naturally between June and September is also there, which has impacted my change in the margin between standalone and consolidated.
Sure, maybe we can take it offline, but it seems the standalone is reacting fine on margins. It's a consolidated.
Sure, sure. Definitely, Aditya.
I'll go on to the second question. I just wanted to get a sense from you as to how much of your business today, let's say, of the 8.1 billion rupees of inflows that you have gotten, or 16 billion for the first half, how much were linked to bioethanol projects, and how to think through them over the next 6 months or so?
Sorry, your voice was a little low, but if I have understood your question, you are saying that in the order intake of 8.1 billion of this quarter, how much is from the bioenergy?
How much is from domestic bioethanol or ethanol projects?
Okay, so the split is definitely not there, but we have a sizable intake also from the domestic market in the bioenergy segment. It is not only international, of course international is there, but domestic orders are also there.
Yeah, so could you give us a sense of how much, ACPP targets are not to be revised.
Sure, we'll send that number out separately, because right now I'm not having immediately on my hand, but we can definitely let you know that.
And maybe lastly, anything that you would want to highlight on the comment made on the pipeline being strong in biogas based plants, but still it may take time for us to benefit. And maybe the allied question, anything that's happening on the bioplastics plant, bioplastics side, that you would want to highlight as an opportunity for this fiscal?
Okay. So I'll take the bioplastics question first. Aditya, of course, this is a new technology, and we have developed it in-house for India. We are talking to both some of the domestic India customers and some of the international customers. But there is no firm project that we have booked yet. And our business development efforts are ongoing in the bioplastics area. What was your first question? Sorry, I forgot.
As in just trying to kind of whether we should... So see, our thought process was that biogas could be an area wherein recovery would happen pretty soon. In terms of orders,
can you be a little louder, Aditya, because your voice is very low.
Okay. I'll try to be louder. So essentially the context is that when we this is linked to the biogas opportunity or CBG opportunity, the more we see through Reliance's annual report and how they talk about things, it seems that the sector is going to see a lot of activity, and you say so in your pipeline as well as it being seeing traction. Should it translate into sizable orders in this year, this coupled with the OMC JV that we have, or will the wait extend into fiscal 27? And what are the imponderables over here that we need to kind of consider?
Now we got your question, Aditya. So, yes, we are also quite optimistic about the CBG segment of our business. In fact, we are one of the few companies who have successful installations running at capacity for compressed biogas for different types of feed. And we believe that as the gas economy of India develops, gas generation will steadily increase within the country, and CBG will play a major role in that. Of course, what it needs is for gas to be distributed properly, it needs a good pipeline infrastructure, the national grid for gas, which connects with both the industrial as well as the city gas distribution network. And it is happening as we speak right now. And as more and more segments get connected and there is an evacuation that happens from the plants, more and more demand and supply will get connected. So this is a steady progress. And, you know, to make the long story short, CBG is an important area for us to focus in the future.
And Aditya, just to answer your question related to domestic orders, which are almost in a range of 300 crores out of the total order book, which we had clocked in this year quarter.
So can these completely dry up in the second half? And if so, are they
not necessarily? Not necessarily, because the what Ashish was explaining about how we are focusing on different elements and segments within bioenergy itself, not only in the international market but also in the domestic market. The highlight was, yes, there will be slownessness in the greenfield projects because the capacity is already achieved, but there will be a lot which will be happening on the technology enhancements, yield enhancement, productivity enhancement, cost reduction, steam reduction. So there are many, many solutions which we do have for our customer base. That's the segment which will start playing out in a bigger way. Our focus will be majorly on that side. That's what was mentioned in the earlier comment of ours, that it will be on the brownfield side more than on greenfield side. But that doesn't mean it will be completely drying up. That is like an extreme kind of a scenario which is not right now visible, especially the inquiries which we are handling currently.
Maybe last thing, and I'll then fall back into the queue. The cash flow from operations was impacted in the quarter in the first half with a buildup of contract assets happening. Is this something that is going to reverse, or should one think through different commercial terms at which incremental execution will happen? That's the last question.
So, I think by December, January, most of our dispatches under that CIP will start moving out. So it's a matter of next 2-3 months where we will see the reversal of this blockage of capital which we have seen in this particular segment of contracts in progress. That will start moving out, and the scenario on the operating cash flow will change to that extent. So it's a matter of next 2-3 months because your observation is right. The CIP is a little on a higher side because of the execution activity which has gone up during this quarter.
Thank you. I'll fall back to the queue. Thank you.
Thank you, Aditya.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Mayank Bhandari from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand how is the impact of the duties on the U.S. tariff.
Can you please be a little louder, Mayank, if you don't mind?
Sir, I just wanted to understand how is the impact of the U.S. tariffs on your business panning out?
Okay, so U.S. tariff, we'll have to look at into two segments, Mayank. One, the orders which we are currently executing and the business which we are expecting from that market. Currently, all the orders are getting executed without having any issues because, and another aspect which we need to understand, the impact of U.S. tariff is technically not on our account because tariff is supposedly to be paid by my customers. So whatever orders which we are currently executing are going on as per the plan. Customer is also not changing the execution pattern or execution cycle which we are going for. Going forward, we'll have to definitely see how it is going to span out, and not only from the possibility of new orders, how they are going to come up, we have to also figure it out how we are going to service them also, whether there are any ways and means of figuring it out how the impact of tariff can get reduced. So there are naturally, what I can say, there are different options or there are different approaches of handling that kind of a scenario. It will not be proper from our side to explain what exactly we are going to do about it, but there are ways and means, the way in which we are trying to figure it out. So it is not that U.S. market is not going to be a market for us going forward. We are definitely catering to that segment also, especially what we just mentioned on the low carbon. People are very, very keen on having those low carbon solutions from our side. What has actually happened when we calculated the effective tariff rate and the way in which customers are coming back and talking to us, their payback period is getting affected maybe by 5 months to 6 months because of this tariff. Still, the solutions which we are offering for that market, they are still attractive. So the impact is not going to felt very, very badly to that extent, especially in the bioenergy. In the segment of equipment side, that is the engineering side, we are still figuring it out how and what should be the ways and means of handling that. But yes, it's a matter of discussion, what I can say, figuring it out, the strategy to deal with this kind of a scenario.
So are we favorably placed then, or competition here from other countries like Taiwan, Korea, China?
I will not say whether we are favorably placed or not placed, because every order is very unique, every opportunity is very unique. The competition is of a very different nature every time. Tariff scenario is still evolving. We don't know what is exactly going to be the final one for everyone for that matter, because every day there are changes which are happening. So it is, I mean, every time we assess the opportunity, depending on what kind of a competition is there, so it is not what I can say a common parameter or common yardstick which we can apply for the U.S. market and U.S. opportunity.
I think the tariff announced was 26%, which was later reduced to 10%. Is that like number-wise it is correct?
26 to 10, sorry, which numbers you are talking about?
Announcement of tariff was 26%. I think this was discussed in last call also.
No, so okay, you are referring to the effective tariff rates which might be applicable to for a customer. As I was telling you earlier, there are different ways and means of handling it, and every order, the modus operandi of that execution will define the tariff rate. It is not necessarily going to be 26%. In some cases, it might be 17%, 18%, 30%, depending on how the order is, that specific order is getting executed. So very, very different. That's what I was explaining earlier. The approaches are very different and unique for each opportunity.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mayank.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Shailesh Kanani from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a good performance considering the macro environment. First question is with respect to our CBG in terms of number of projects what we have in terms of feedstock, their completion timelines, because last time I remember we were supposed to complete some project in the month of October or November somewhere. Can you just give some details on that front in terms of breakup, in terms of summary of those projects?
We don't have the summary in front of us right now, Shailesh. Maybe we can separately come to you on that. But there are several projects which are ongoing under Praj's belt right now. And they are on different feedstocks and they are at different stages of execution. Some of them are already completed and producing the gas at capacity, and the customers are realizing the cash flows through those projects. So I think that is what is the scenario. The pipeline is also getting developed nicely for the next few years. And as I said, as the infrastructure for distribution and evacuation of this gas, you know, develops further in the country, because you must appreciate that most of this generation will happen in the rural or remote areas, but most of the consumption happens in the large cities, you know, where either the compressed biogas is used in the cars or it gets used for the domestic cooking usage. So therefore, you know, the industry will develop at a certain pace, and we are obviously a key participant in that ecosystem.
Fair enough. I will take that offline. My second question is with respect to margins. So we have done very well on the international side. I think we have clocked highest quarterly revenues. So just wanted to understand, is there any one-off delivery which has happened during the quarter? And second, we have historically always mentioned that the international orders comes with a 500 to 600 bips extra EBITDA margins. So weren't the margins a little bit subdued in that context?
Yeah. So Shailesh, the answer which I had given earlier on the margin said that margin gets defined based on the sales mix. During this quarter, I had also mentioned earlier that we had done a couple of service orders which doesn't require material naturally, and this is the deliverable of the drawings and designs for the projects which we do. in this quarter, that quantum was higher as compared to the June quarter or the September quarter. Naturally, almost everything on the top line gets added into my bottom line because of the services element. Otherwise, my fixed cost is anyway there. And that's the reason this margin improvement starts looking very differently because of the delivery of different kind of orders. Your question related to international is right. International orders have different margins as compared to domestic margins, that's for sure. Going forward, we'll have to see how that space is also going to span out. As someone was asking us a question related to tariffs, so we'll have to really figure it out how this changing dynamics is going to have a change in our margin segments too.
So just to supplement that, the reason I was trying to understand is because this time around we have nearly 50% of our revenues coming from international. So from that context, I was trying to understand.
So if you look at, rather earlier we had mentioned that one of the order which we are executing currently in the Africa region, region by region our margins are different. Every region is not giving us the similar kind of a margin. Even Africa margins are better than India margin, but not as good as European or American margins. So naturally, what you are observing, that's right. International contribution or other international revenue is on the higher side. But correspondingly, what we would have got the margin on the bottom line from the international side is not to that extent.
And just the other part of the question, was there any one-off or this rate can be expected to be sustaining for the second half?
There is nothing one-off. It is absolutely the nature of business which we are into, the jobs which we are doing, the regions which we are catering to. Everything is absolutely same. There is nothing one-off.
Okay. Can I squeeze in one more question?
Please go ahead quickly.
Sure. On the domestic front, if you can give some customer profile, you have mentioned that on the bioenergy, that's ethanol, predominantly we have received around 300 crores of orders out of total 800 odd crores. So if you can just give some understanding in terms of the customer profile, what is your interaction with them? Because we do know that there is an oversupply in terms of capacity of ethanol. So how are they viewing it and how they are assessing it? And also in terms of the customers, how is the pipeline vis-a-vis last year and this year? If you can do some give some numbers on that front as well.
Yeah, I think there is a fair amount of data that you can find in the public domain, right? While at the aggregated level, the demand and supply have this imbalance, which means the demand right now is less compared to the capacity available in the country for ethanol. But when you peel the onion, so to say, and get to the details, different states and different regions have different capacities and therefore different demands. So within pockets within the country, there are still opportunities that are existing. And that is why my colleague Sachin mentioned to some other caller that this is not going to be a complete dry out in the second half of the year, but there will still be opportunities in the capacity additions, enhancements, etc. in the ethanol market. And the customers are also thinking the same. They are, of course, wanting more usage of ethanol, also more pathways, and how to use ethanol for many other purposes other than the EBP 20. And I think there is a good discussion happening in the ecosystem of this ethanol market.
Thanks a lot, sir. That's very useful and best of luck, sir.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Sandeep Sabrawal from AskSandeepSabrawal.com. Please go ahead.
Mr. Gaikwad, it's good to see that after many, many quarters, we have a more conservative conference call where you are giving a realistic picture of where the company is going. Because we have been used to having very bullish conference calls based on opportunities you have and then the delivery doesn't come. Now, many people have asked many questions. So as a composite, over the last 3-4 years, the company has talked of 4 big growth opportunities: 2G ethanol, CBG, bioplastics, and this sustainable aviation fuel. So, can you, on a as a composite answer, actually update all of us as to where and how you see these opportunities panning out? I know there have been separate questions asked on different segments. So, since you have just taken over, from your perspective, if you can answer, it will be great. Thank you.
Yeah, sure, Mr. Sabharwal. And I think, you know, your observation, we take it as a compliment. We do want to be as sort of transparent and as realistic when we have this dialogue every quarter as possible. And you can, of course, give your feedback as we move forward on our dialogue. Coming back to these new technologies, you know, predominantly Praj has been one of the very significant players in the development of ethanol as a market in India. Our founder chairman was, in fact, very instrumental. He is known as the ethanol man of India. So we get connected with ethanol always. But we must realize that along the way, in the last few years, we've done a lot of good seed planting for the advanced biofuels which go beyond ethanol. So, first of all, because of this food versus fuel debate that started a few years ago, Praj was one of the pioneers in thinking about waste to energy and therefore creating the second generation ethanol from the agri-waste. India is blessed as far as agri-waste is concerned because if we can put it to use, then we will be one of the largest producers of the biomass in the country. It's estimated to be around, you know, 750 million tons every year. And if we can convert that technology to, you know, make ethanol, that will be really helpful for farmers, for the country to become independent in terms of energy sufficiency. And there are many other advantages. I need not get into those details right now. So 2G technology for us is already bought by three oil marketing companies, Indian Oil, BPCL, and HPCL. Indian Oil plant is completely commissioned right now, and the trials are ongoing, and we are you know, working on some of the initial teething issues that we encountered, and we are very hopeful that by end of this fiscal, which is by March, we will be able to, you know, get to our target production. So efforts are on in that area. And then it will be followed by the other two projects. As you know, in the government also has realized the power of second generation ethanol, and they have recently come up with a policy that people can take these non-food feedstocks, and if they, you know, make those 2G ethanol, it is allowed to be exported to different countries. That's a very welcome change, and this was announced as recent as the September of this year. So we are looking forward to that development. We believe that there are not too many players in the world who have been very persistent and standing behind the second generation ethanol technology. Praj has been, and I think in the time to come, that entire tenacity that Praj has shown will give us an advantage in the global market as well. So that's as far as 2G is concerned. I think I sufficiently talked about CBG, and that's a segment that we are also very hopeful about. Gas economy is required for India, and CBG really helps in developing that gas economy, reduce the LNG import over a period of time, which is also running into billions of dollars for India. And so if we produce it using biomass, that will be really, you know, beneficial to the nation's overall mission as it comes. The third one, you know, the technology that I touched upon very briefly was the SAF, or the sustainable aviation fuel. A lot of people have talked about SAF, and there are different ways to get to SAF, but the one that will really survive in the long term will be converting ethanol to the jet fuel. That's called as E2J. And again, in that E2J technology, multiple people have talked about it. But I'm really proud to share with all of you that in the country today, we have a real demo facility where on one side when you put ethanol, we can run continuously the plant to get the sustainable aviation fuel that is certified for usage in the airplanes. Now, this has taken some time to develop as a market for various reasons, but there is no doubt in my mind personally and in general in our minds that this is a market that will provide a new path for ethanol to get converted into a higher value fuel. And, you know, that is a technology that Praj has. The other thing that Praj also has is not just the technology, but also the engineering capability that will help the customers to construct a commercial-sized plant for SAF. So that's another advantage that we need to keep in mind when it comes to SAF. And lastly, I would talk about the bioplastics. In that particular portfolio of bioplastics that Praj is working on, the first one that we already have ready as a technology is the lactic acid or the polylactic acid. We have, again, a demo plant based on our research and development efforts, which a lot of people come to visit us and have a look at it because they want to see and touch and feel it. And we have an advantage, therefore, that we are able to not only demonstrate to them the technology, but also share with them the path to scale it up for a commercial-sized bioplastics plant. We have some discussions already going on, but because there is no order that we have yet booked, there is still some time before we see the revenues coming from these efforts. So I thought this is, some quick overview of some of the technologies. I touched upon the IBA earlier, the isobutanol, that will be useful in blending into the diesel. And again, that is a large opportunity that Praj would like to participate. So this is a bouquet of different and new technologies. They essentially are coming from the bio sources, so therefore it's going to be good for the climate change actions. And we have created what we call as the bioverse. This is a term that we would like to use going forward, which is actually a combination of the biofuels and the biochemicals and materials all put together. And to implement these technologies, we also have the engineering and the modular and equipment manufacturing technologies and manufacturing locations that will kind of complete the cycle for our prospective customers. Does that help in getting an overview?
Sir, Sandeep, sir's line has disconnected.
Nope. I'm sorry to know that.
No worries.
I hope it was useful to the other listeners, though.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as our last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management from Praj Industries Limited for the closing comments.
Yeah. So thank you everyone for your time today and questions. If you have any more questions, feel free to write us at info@praj.net and we will be happy to give answers to your questions. Once again, thanks a lot for your time today. Have a nice day and we look forward to interacting with you in near future. Thank you.
On behalf of Praj Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.